Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Have a guest across the way, hasn't been here for a couple of years or on the show. Well, you were on the show 2 years ago, right?
I thought it was just last year.
No, that was 2 years ago.
Maybe it was 2 years ago.
I believe, September or August of 2014.
Well, time flies when you're having fun.
Doesn't it, though? And because you've become this well-known, well-respected correspondent for the TOC and the WFIW viewing and listening public, haven't you?
All through the internet connectivity of this radio station.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome across the way Greg McDonald from Brewer Garrett Company, from Cleveland, Ohio. How you doing, Greg?
Good, Bruce. Good morning.
It's good to see you. All right. You were our correspondent. You were our eyes, those who could not see. You were the eyes for those of us who could not see what was going on the ground at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland this year. How did you handle such immense responsibility?
Is this where I start talking?
This is where you start talking. Anywhere you want.
I don't know how much how immense the responsibilities really were, but I was privileged to be a part of reporting back on the RNC's involvement in Cleveland for your show during the period. And I got to tell you, we were on pins and needles going into the convention.
What was the mood going into the convention? Did you think there was going to be some rapscallionism, or was there going to be all kinds of ne'er-do-wells all over the place?
Well, let's remember back to July of this year what was going on. 2 weeks before the convention, 5 police officers were killed in Dallas.
Yeah.
A week later, right before the convention, 3 police officers were killed in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's rolling into Cleveland now.
Okay.
And at that time. And I will tell you that the city was on pins and needles from a security standpoint.
A city that has had recent issues to have some worries about the police and that kind of stuff.
They have had some issues with their police and use of force and how they use force. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, when the event went off, it went off without a hitch. And the city of Cleveland, as well as just the whole Northeast Ohio area, turned out to be very, very positive. We couldn't have asked for a better convention. As the Washington Post reported after the event happened, their headline was, "We expected riots going into Cleveland, and we came back with them throwing us a block party."
Is that right? See, now that must be pretty satisfying as a even though transplanted, you've been there 20 years now, as a Cleveland resident, Cleveland area resident, are you more satisfied or surprised that it turned out so well?
I'll speak, you know, the one thing I do know as a transplant in Clevelander is that those that have come in from out of town and experienced Northeast Ohio and Cleveland are much more positive about the area than those that have never left.
Really?
Okay, they don't realize how good they have it.
Is that right?
But I will tell you that the RNC helped to promote Cleveland overall to the residents that were there. People were positive about the RNC going in. We're optimistic that this could be pulled off without any violence and that the city would be looked at positively, and the reception that we got after the convention by the national media, as well as those that were in the convention and reporting during the convention, was extremely positive. The Tourism Bureau in Cleveland, actually a month after the convention, said that their leads were up something like 60%, with over half of those coming as new leads strictly from the word of mouth through the convention.
So basically the delegates and or the other folks who came in for the convention, we're going back to their homes, states, saying, "Hey, look, this might be a place. This appears to be a place that can run one of these type of things."
Right, and what I heard, and I talked to several of the delegates, and I tried to mingle with those from out of town, asking about their opinion of Cleveland and what they thought about the convention, and everything was extremely positive. There were several stories about people being interviewed ahead of time with somewhat of a neutral to negative attitude about Cleveland being an industrial city, a city that grew up in the 50s and 60s with smokestacks, and that was really River on fire, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck's a Cleveland thing?
Howard the Duck was a Cleveland
thing. I didn't realize that.
That's outside of Major League and Howard the Duck. That's about all I knew. And the river's catching on fire when I moved to Cleveland. But I'll tell you that that's not at all what Cleveland was and or is today. And the people that were at the convention and those that visited us, not only delegates but also the media from out of town, gave it stellar reviews.
You know, there were no were there any protests? I mean, I'm just telling you nationally. Well, we would only see national news. We didn't see local news or anything like that. And I'm trying to recall, there weren't very many protests at all, other than very small things.
The protests were all handled by the police with flying colors. They brought in 200 BMX bikes for the local law enforcement to help control the crowd. I guess they had learned this at one of the conventions earlier and decided to train the Cleveland police officers on the use of these bikes. And those bikes became a rolling barricade. And when there were protests,
tell me, how do bikes become a rolling barricade? I don't understand.
Okay, think about Star Wars. You got stormtroopers running around, right? Okay. But they're on feet with their little lightsabers.
Yeah, and they've got the guns that don't shoot straight.
Correct.
Because Han Solo never got hit.
Correct. Neither did Luke Skywalker.
Well, until lately.
But nonetheless, the Cleveland guys were dressed up in gear that looked like stormtroopers on BMX bikes. They would go from back wheel to front wheel, create a rolling barricade, and as the protesters marched out of the area that they were supposed to be held in, the police would circle them and help to direct them to the areas that they wanted them to go.
They were herding.
They were herding the protesters in such a way that they were separating them from those that they were protesting against and really minimizing the violence. The most significant issue that happened from a protest standpoint was some knucklehead setting a flag on fire and in the process setting himself on fire.
Forgot about that guy.
Yeah, so at the end of the week, there were actually 23 arrests. 17 came through the flag burning incident.
No kidding.
So outside of that, there were 6?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
It was pretty impressive.
I mean, the folks were going in thinking Chicago 68.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I think the Washington Post hit it right on the head. They're expecting a riot, and they ended up with a block party. And I think Cleveland, for a very long time now, is going to be very positively perceived because of that. And then you throw in our sports teams. You throw in the Cavs doing what they did. You got the Indians leading
the
Central Division. You got the Indians really doing well in spite of their pitching. And I hear the Cavs, and I think the Cavs are starting again. And also we have
training camp starts soon for the Cavs.
As does the Lake Erie Monsters, our minor league hockey team. And we're really excited about that.
Well, I'm not even going to ask you again. You won't answer. You don't have a quarterback. You're not answering, are you?
Go Bears. I think they have issues with quarterbacks, too.
You went to the convention. How many nights did you go to inside the building? Just the one?
I was just inside on Thursday night when the Donald spoke.
How was watching the Donald in person like that? He talked for a real long time.
He talked for 90 minutes. And what impressed me was he gained momentum as his speech went on. At about the hour-long mark, he started talking about how the Supreme Court needs to be influenced through this presidential election and the impact that the next president's going to have on the long-term Supreme Court. And that gave ovations and enthusiasm from the crowd, unlike anything he had said before that. And then he really just built on that for the next half hour.
Oh, really? So he fed off the crowd, huh?
What do you think?
I don't know. I've never seen him speak.
He is so egocentric.
Yeah.
Without a crowd, he wouldn't have an audience.
How was the crowd on the earlier speakers? Were the folks bored? Was it a situation where they were waiting for the big deal of the night? I mean, you were there all night long, right?
Yeah. And most people were waiting for the Donald to come out and do his thing. But there were also some preliminary speakers. There was in particular, an African-American Southern Baptist from South Carolina that got up as a South Carolina Baptist pastor would do.
Preaching
to the group, whip the crowd into a frenzy. I mean, he was fun. He was fun to listen to. Regardless of what you think about the message, it was entertaining to watch, and it was a good time.
Is that about half the battle you want? I mean, you've been to several conventions now, at least two or three. Is that about half the battle of a political convention, you think, when you compare this 2016 RNC to the 96 DNC you went to? Is it to entertain, to inform, or get folks fired up to vote? What is the main cause?
I think it's fair to say that it sure isn't about substance.
No.
Because we haven't heard a lot of substance come out of the campaign at the RNC or thereafter. Yeah. But it can only be for one purpose. It's to enthusiasm and energize the public that this is a bandwagon they want to get on. Yeah. Go out and vote for me.
Was it the same? How successful, when you look at the two different conventions that you spent a lot of time at, how successful was the 96 one versus this 16 one?
I think they were very similar. I mean, the DNC in Chicago in 96, I remember it being down at the United Center in Chicago and being very much of the same variety. I was there on the last night of that as well. And the pop and circumstance, the biggest difference.
See, the thing is, Clinton was president already then.
Right. And the difference that Cleveland had was there wasn't a clear-cut solution for the nominee going into the convention. It was believed that it was going to be Trump, but there was still an anti-Trump Ted Cruz gambit that was vying for a position to still try to claim the nomination. Right.
So you still had that in the air a little bit.
Yes. And that made Monday's convention and Tuesday's convention a little bit more relevant than just the last day of the convention, which is really all the
as
DNC
opposed to
in 96
like
was.
As opposed to the DNC,
right?
They weren't doing anything.
It was just pomp and circumstance leading up to the final speaker. Right.
I'm talking with Greg McDonald. He was our convention correspondent. We're going to talk about a lot of other things. That's enough political. We're going to talk about a lot of other things when we return, including Greg, by the way, is a barbecue and grilling and smoking aficionado. Might get a little chat with Greg about that. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Welcome back, folks, to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Greg McDonald, bon vivant, raconteur, and correspondent for us. And I have had some of the smoked meats that Greg cooks. What is your favorite grill? The reason I ask is we've got several grills in the auction, and you can probably give us reviews on each one, right?
Yeah, I think you have, from talking to Doty, you've got three grills that are going to be in the auction on Saturday.
The auction on Saturday, starting at 8 a.m. I don't know when the grills are going for sale, but...
So there's a Weber kettle that has an electronic start on it, which is
a Weber
really,
kettle
really
with
cool.
The electronic start. That's exactly right. Now,
that's a pretty nice grill. And then there's also a Green Egg, which they come in four different sizes. I believe this is the second to the largest Green Egg that
they
have.
What's the biggest?
The XL.
Okay, this is the
large. And I think
large.
There may be a Super XL, too.
Oh, really?
But the large is a very nice grill as well. And then they have a Traeger Junior. And when I look at grills, and my experience has been on the Traegers, they are fantastic grills to work with.
How many grills do you currently own and use?
Well,
Before you tell me this, let me preface this by saying that you are a married man.
I'm really not sure what that point means.
I would think that this many grills might occasionally become bothersome to a spouse.
Ah, but it's very simple, though. Think about the amount of money we save from not going out to eat by being able to barbecue for the family.
So you're
that
barbecuing
pays for its grill
for
in
the,
no time.
Really?
Absolutely.
How many grills do you have at the house right now?
I have seven.
You have seven barbecue grills?
Yeah, of which I actively use three of them, and I still have one in the box.
But you're going to actively use it as soon as you get
absolutely.
It out of the box.
I can't wait to put it together. I was in a barbecue competition, actually, for the first time. Went down to a place called Hartville Hardware in the Akron-Canton area of Ohio for a rib competition. And in that rib competition, we had 10 competitors on Traeger grills.
Were you competing?
I was competing. We had 10 competitors on Traegers and 10 competitors on Green Eggs. They gave us the grills. They gave us the baby back ribs. All we had to do.
Whoa. Time out. Hold on a second. So they provided, you didn't have to bring your own equipment for this.
No.
How in the world did you get invited to participate in one of these things?
I paid them $30.
Ah, that's a good invitation.
Just like the 19 other people.
But $30 to be able to, were the grills all already used or were they all brand
new? No, they were brand new. And it's quite the gambit that the place has.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused by this whole thing.
So it's real simple. They buy 20 grills. The hardware store buys these grills. They then sell them as slightly used grills for about 15% off the list price of the grill. And they're still making money on the deal. Plus, they're bringing all these people in to participate in this contest, as well as they made it an entire barbecued weekend where they had celebrity chefs come in from around the country. They did different presentations during the day while the guys were doing their grills. And
that's a big deal.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And again, I've never competed before. But I figured in this case, let's give it a try. How can it hurt?
So you made ribs. Which one did you get, the Green Mountain or the Traeger?
No, I used the Traeger.
Did you get a choice?
The Green Egg.
Green
yes.
Egg,
yes, you had a choice. And I do not own a Green Egg. Those that own Green Eggs can vouch that there's quite a cult that surrounds the Green Egg movement.
They love them. Folks love their Green Eggs.
And I think the Traeger people are as passionate about their grills as the Green Egg people are about theirs. But nonetheless, the Green Egg is a charcoal grill.
Very diplomatic. By the way, I appreciate the diplomacy that you continue to show here.
I will tell you this. I saw some of the ribs that came off the Green Eggs, and the char on them, the color of the rib, was just outstanding. But where my ribs on the Traeger actually won out over some of the Green Eggs was in the smoke ring that went through the meat.
Okay, so did everybody do ribs?
Everybody did ribs. We did the exact same ribs. We were given two slabs of baby back ribs by the hardware store to
were
cook
you
on these grills.
Given the, were you given... Or did you have to bring your own spice?
You brought your own rubs, you brought your own mops, you brought your own sauce, and you brought your own technique as to how you were cooking the ribs.
How long of a time did they give you to cook them on each one?
You had up to 7 hours. I took 6 to make the ribs that I made.
When was presentation? What time of day?
2 p.m.
So you basically started, folks were starting at about 6 a.m., 7 a.m.
7 a.m., the doors opened. The thing about the grill, since they had just set them up, they had to burn them off and go through a process of seasoning them for cooking. So the first hour we spent just getting the grills ready, and then we had 6 hours left to cook on.
So you paid $30 to build a grill for somebody.
I paid $30 to help people, but with their grills. And that was fun because when I showed up, I was actually helping the guy get things started up. And the first thing I suggested was he take the instructions that were on the grills and pull them out and put them on the table rather than leaving them in the grill as they fired up and started heating up. the guy from the hardware store said, good call.
That'd season it in a hurry, though.
Yeah, it'd season it in a hurry. Yeah, in a flame. It'd go up in a bowl of flames. But nonetheless, at the end of the 6 hours, everybody took their two slabs. We took seven.
And everybody, you had nobody that was specially invited, like the national people. You weren't competing against any of the national people.
No. We weren't competing against national cooks, but we were competing against local catering companies.
Oh, really?
There were groups there that had 3 and 4 chefs cooking on one grill with boxes and boxes of stuff that they were bringing in to prepare their
ribs. Two slabs of ribs.
To prepare 2 slabs of ribs, right. And they had their signs up and promoting their local catering business. And I kind of chuckle that neither of them finished in the top 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the schadenfreude across the street here. So, okay, so where'd you finish?
I finished third place.
Third out of 20?
Third out of 20.
You were Traeger. What was, were there any Green Mountains ahead of you? Green Eggs ahead of you? I'm sorry.
So there was a winner for the Green Egg, and there was a winner for the Traeger.
Did you get the opportunity to taste anybody else's?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had some of the ribs that came off the Green Egg, and as I was saying before, so we got two slabs of ribs. Each rib has maybe 14 bones on it. The judges only need 7 bones.
Yeah.
So there were 7 judges. We sent 7 bones into the judging area. The rest of it was cut up and distributed amongst those that were at the event, as well as the different chefs
that
were there.
How difficult is it in a rib competition like that? And I've never judged the one here in town. We just had one at the Fall Fun Fest. How difficult is it in a rib competition like that to be able to cut and maybe not pull meat off of it as you're cutting it? You better have a sharp knife, right?
Well, you do have to.
I mean, I'd be worried I'd be pulling the meat off the bone, and you don't want to do that.
Right. So I sharpened my knives the night before, and I made some mistakes when cutting through the ribs, hitting the bone rather than between the bones. But I only had to get 7 bones to the judges.
Yeah.
So those bones that I missed on went to us to eat.
I see.
But I did learn something from this whole event, that the key to cutting any type of meat when you're done smoking is an electric knife.
Really?
There were guys using electric knives, and they just slid through it like butter.
I guess that makes sense because you're not really pulling on it.
And then you're not ripping apart the char or the bark that's on the bones.
Wow. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So it was fun. I mean, and everybody's ribs were a little bit different, and everybody used a slightly different methodology of cooking.
Did you get a chance to taste the winners?
I didn't taste the winner, and I was disappointed that I didn't have an opportunity to try his.
So you were third overall or third Traeger?
Third overall.
Okay.
Third overall, because they gave us back our scores at the end, and we could see where our score fell in. So I finished right behind the other Traeger guy.
Yeah.
And then of the Traeger and the Green Egg guy, they had a competition between the two of them as to who would win the overall prize, and that went to the Traeger grill as well.
What makes a winning entry?
They looked at 3 things. They looked at the appearance of the meat. They looked and judged the taste of the meat. And they judged the texture of the meat. And between those 3 categories, with taste getting 50 points and the other 2 getting 25, they gave you a score on a scale of 1 to 100.
So where'd the Traeger guy beat you? Isn't it terrible that I'm asking about how you lost as opposed to the 9 guys or the 8 teams that you beat?
I didn't lose. I didn't lose. I had a ball doing this, and what the winner received for winning this competition was a $250 gift card for the hardware store, which was kind of neat. I won a random door prize of an $800 Traeger grill
Ladies and gentlemen, now
have sitting in a box in my garage that I need to build and turn into my full-time
grill. So you won a door prize.
I won a door prize.
As opposed to the so you won $550 more than this other guy.
You betcha.
The poor schlub.
So now my lovely wife is actually very excited that there's going to be now another barbecue grill sitting on our deck.
How many do you have on the deck now? You have 3 outside.
I have 3 outside. I will have 4 outside. I may put the little guy inside. And the little guy is what is up for auction on Saturday. So that's a Traeger Tailgater. Actually, I'm sorry. It's a Traeger Junior that is being given away or auctioned off on Saturday. That is a 19x22 grill grate. It is a wood pellet grill. We haven't really talked about that, but that's what makes these Traeger. You mentioned Green Mountain several times.
Yeah.
Green Mountain is a competitor of Traeger. It's actually former guys that worked at Traeger, but these are wood pellet grills, and they're quite frankly idiot-proof grills. They have wood pellets. They have a thermostat. They have a grilling surface. They have a fan inside. You basically turn the grill on. You set it to the temperature that you want, anywhere between 180 and 450 degrees, and you walk away. When I make beef brisket on my grill, I'll get it started in the morning. I'll go out and play 18 holes of golf. I'll come back and eat the beef.
So brisket. The thing is, with those ribs, then did you basically set the ribs in those in that Traeger thing, and you didn't mess with it for 6 hours, or you would occasionally have to go in surely and
I messed with some basting.
Yes,
I messed with the ribs. I would mop them after the first 2 hours. You want the smoke to permeate the meat. So in the first 2 hours, I don't mess with them a lot. I want the smoke to make a nice smoke ring in the meat.
And this is basically open. In the grill, as opposed to like foiled or anything,
it's open. Correct. So it's open in the grill. And after the second hour, then you can begin mopping them. And then some guys, after the third hour, going to the fourth and fifth hour, will wrap them in foil, add a little bit of apple juice or something, maybe some honey, maybe some brown sugar, seal them up, and that's what will make them really fall off the bone. Oh. A lot of guys were doing that in this competition, so I chose a different route. I just left them in a rib rack for the entire 6 hours. When they were done, they were a little bit chewier. They had a little bit more pull to them, but it made them a little bit different than ribs.
That's the interesting thing. I've judged brisket about a month and a half ago, and we talked to the professional brisket judges before we did it, and the pull apart is half the deal. I think a lot of folks don't realize how important that is in the judging, is the pull apart of the meat.
Yeah, and a lot of people talk about ribs that fall off the bone. Well, ribs that fall off the bone to me are just kind of flimsy. They're rubbery. There's not a whole lot to them. I like the ones that have a little bit of substance to them. And same thing with brisket, same thing with pulled pork. Did my first pig 2 weeks ago. Cooked a whole hog on my Traeger at home. It wasn't this little guy that's for sale on Saturday, but you might be able to trade in for a bigger grill. The Traeger Texas has a 19 by 34 inch grilling surface, and we were able to put a 55-pound hog on that grill.
So a little hog.
Little hog. They tell you can get up to a 65-pound pig on it. But before a porker party, we sat there, let it go all day long, and then at the right before we started playing cards, pulled the pig off the grill and just pulled the crap out of the meat, and it was
just pulled the meat off the
outstanding, really? Outstanding. Outstanding. The skin was outstanding, and the meat was just like nothing you've ever tasted before.
Well, I've eaten pig fresh off the spit before, so yeah.
Yeah, but did it come off a smoker?
No. Okay.
And that's the neat thing about these wood pellet grills. So these Traeger grills and even your Green Egg that's on the auction on Saturday, too.
And probably the Weber for that matter.
And the Weber, of course, too. The difference with the Weber, though, is you're going to have a little bit more difficult time trying to cook on indirect fire.
Indirect
can
be a little difficult.
Yeah. The Traeger is all indirect heat. So on one side, it's a negative. If you're looking for that charred flavor that you get on a steak, you're not going to see that because you're not going to cook it right over the fire. But it will sear. Anything sears over 400 degrees, so you can sear the flavor into it. You get a little bit of smoke flavor to it, and it's just a fantastic grill.
Did you win the poker?
I did fairly well that night. I would say.
I got a question. The whole idea of playing poker after you've been eating off of a pig with your hands there. I mean, you need all kinds of Dawn solution to wash the grease off your hands.
We're very hygienic in Northeast Ohio. We buy it by the gallon.
Is that right? Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So speaking of food, you were talking about New Orleans earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's your happiest place on earth.
Yeah, I said that.
What is your favorite food in New Orleans?
I tell you what, we'll take a short break and I'll let you know. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
I've got Greg McDonald here. We're talking about all kinds of things. Actually, it's kind of turned to food, and it sounds like we're going to talk a little bit more about that. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back after these. See, you get past the first part, which is actually the good part of the song. And then you get to this Weasley part.
Weasley.
Weasley's part. This is the Weasley part.
That is the trombone lead line in the marching Illini arrangement of Carry On My Wayward Son. Carry On My Wayward Son is one of the best arrangements ever made for a marching band.
You get to this Weasel part of the song.
Where is Tuttle when I need him? I don't have much use for you, John, but right now I could use you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. My guest across the way is Greg McDonald. And I did not mention he is a former member of the Marching Illini, as am I. That's where we met, and we'll that'll be it for that. Your question.
Well, the whole Marching Illini thing actually leads very well into the music scene, and you and I, both being low brass guys, we absolutely love the music that goes along with that. And we were talking about food earlier, so I was asking about New Orleans. I know it's your happiest place on earth.
It's the happy place on earth.
I plan on making a trip there over Thanksgiving with the family, and looking forward to...
When's the last... Well, you see, now you go to New Orleans about once every 3 or 4 years,
No. I haven't been to New Orleans since Katrina.
Wait a minute. Are you serious? You haven't been to New Orleans in 10 years?
I'm somewhat embarrassed to say that, but it happens when you have 3 kids that have to go through college.
That is the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, it happens.
You should have sent one of them down there.
let's stay on task. So tell me about...
Oh, you're taking over the interview
What
now.
Is your favorite
Is that what
food?
You're doing?
What is your favorite food in New Orleans?
I've already talked about here earlier today about how I love po' boys. I love the New Orleans po' boy is a little different from everywhere else because everywhere else doesn't put remoulade on it. Remoulade is a sauce, an egg sauce that is spicy egg.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just a bunch of fried stuff.
Yeah, otherwise it's fried stuff and lettuce and tomatoes. But yeah, and pickles. But it's an outstanding sandwich. But that's a good lunch. It's not a good meal, dinner meal, a celebratory type of dinner, or even an outstanding type of a place to go when you're out on the town. You don't eat po' boys at night. You eat them in the daytime. And, well, you eat po' boys late at night, maybe.
What about the muffaletta?
Muffalettas I don't like.
You don't? Oh, that's right. You're not a... No. It's not cold cuts. It's the olives. You've never been a fan of olives.
Well, I hate olives.
I love olives.
Well, anyway,
muffalettas are great.
My favorite... it's easier for me to pick... It's difficult to pick my favorite food in New Orleans. I love the... my favorite restaurant's K Paul's.
Okay.
It's been open 50 or 60 years. You can still go there.
And what is K Paul's all about?
K Paul's was Paul Prudhomme's restaurant.
Ah, the chef that makes those spices.
Not all that many spicy. It's a lot of butter. Paul's dead now.
Yeah, but he has a line of spices that you'll find
in
grocery
stores,
yes.
Oh, okay.
You use them on the smoked meats we talked about earlier.
Really? Okay, well, I love that restaurant. And you can go in there and drop $100, $200 per person.
What is it that's on the menu that you really like?
Turtle soup, for starters.
Yeah, turtle soup is kind of a staple in New Orleans.
And theirs is outstanding. It's just outstanding.
Kind of like a bisque with a little sherry on top?
Not that creamy.
Okay.
A bisque is thinner than a bisque. But that's the thing. Folks don't realize that if they ask you to pour sherry in your turtle soup, you always say yes. Because it makes it better, and they ask you because it's got alcohol in it, but it always makes the taste better whether or not you drink the alcohol or not.
Huh. They never ask me at a Japanese restaurant when they shoot sake in my mouth if I wanted sake.
Well, were you drinking sake to start?
No, they just find it fun, and then if they flip the little shrimps up in the air and put them on their hats, and do they do that in New Orleans?
No,
okay,
no. Well, they might at one of those restaurants, one of those Hibachi Grill.
Right, but that's not.
But if you go to Hibachi Grill in New Orleans, you've clearly messed up.
Such is true.
You've clearly screwed up.
So you like the turtle soup? What is the
like the turtle soup? I've had several entrees. You just can't go wrong with my go to is the soft shell crab, but that kind of depends on the time of year.
Sure.
I'm not sure that now is a good time.
What about the prawns?
Or November will be a good time for soft shell crab. Prawns? You're talking about, there are particular places where you get the better barbecued shrimp. Mm-hmm. Talking about prawns, barbecued shrimp.
Right.
See, you can go to Pascal's Manali anytime and get that, and that's outstanding.
How do you like the ones at Commander's Palace?
I didn't much care for them. They were Commander's Palace, so they were good, but they're not great.
Okay.
Commander's Palace. If you go there, are you going to, do you have reservations? You keep asking me about Commander's Palace.
I have no reservations, but I think they have the best bread pudding on the planet.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
With the whiskey bourbon sauce.
The only time I was there, though, I had Mississippi Jackrabbit.
Okay.
Which was astonishing. Just, you were there.
Yeah.
That was astonishingly good.
And what makes the Mississippi Jackrabbit better than the Louisiana Jackrabbit?
It's faster.
It's faster. Apparently it wasn't that fast, was it?
It was too slow that day. But, I mean, that's the thing, Greg. That was 20 years ago. That's 22 years ago, and I can still remember what I had at that meal. And
well, that's impressive. So you had to have enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what about the music? Is there a venue anywhere you like to go to, or you just kind of hang out and go bar to bar? Or
see, you've taken over the interview the wrong direction here. Keep asking me the questions instead of me asking you.
Well, I was going to chime in with my own opinion, though, once you provide one.
Well, the music, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere and find the good stuff. Foo Fighters, for crying out loud, crashed and played Preservation Jazz Room, you know, the Preservation Building. That's just unbelievable. I actually kind of like walking. I'm one of the few, well, I guess not that few, but I like I like Bourbon Street.
Now, have you ever seen Bonorama in New Orleans?
Not in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Not in New Orleans.
That's the one thing I would like to do.
Are they going to be there whenever you're there?
I don't know.
See, that's the thing. In New Orleans, you can go anywhere and find music.
Right.
You'll find good live music anywhere.
And it's day and night.
It's day, it's night, it's the entire time. What made you decide, if you haven't been there in 10 years, what made you decide you wanted to go back?
The food, the music.
Well, I know all that, but you hadn't been there for 10 years.
No,
so.
But the kids want to go. The kids want to go. So my two oldest are now graduated from college, so we have a little bit more flexibility both financially as well as they have some flexibility now not having to pull them out of school. Kevin's the only one I have to get out of school, so he's...
And he'll be on winter Thanksgiving break then anyway, right?
Right. So the kids have wanted to go to New Orleans. We have not been able to do it for a number of reasons, but this year seems like the right time.
Where are you staying? Do you know?
Some house near the French Quarter.
So you did an Airbnb thing.
Not a B&B. We're actually renting a house, like a three-bedroom house.
Where did you decide to do that? I mean, you don't go to Travelocity or something and do
no,
that.
No, but
that
it's not a whole lot different. It was something online that I found. Just Google different locations.
See, I know a guy who did that too. Just loved it. Right next to the French Market.
Yeah, I mean, this place looks really nice. I've talked to the owner about it. I've read the reviews on it. It's no different than when I look at restaurants. And my tool there is Yelp. This was some other tool that I used to find the.
Do
right
you
house.
Do it this way instead of with your three kids instead of having to get two hotel rooms or three hotel rooms or whatever that turns into?
I like the space. I like the space of a house and not really happy about having two or three hotel rooms. So.
Yeah, but the hotel rooms, you can get them right in the middle of the whole thing.
Well, and I'm not sure that this is too far off that. So from what I've been able to tell, it's no more than a block off Bourbon Street, right there in the French Quarter. So I think it'll be all right.
Well, and I hope you enjoy it.
It'll give us something to
talk
about.
Do you want some restaurant recommendations?
Of course.
You got to go. You got to go to Galatoire's. Now I'm talking the nice places. Galatoire's is nice, even though that's the old timey. The ones I'm giving you are the old timeys. Two Jacks. Two Jacks, TUJAQUE, is very good. Oh gosh, you said Commander's Palace. Everybody says the Acme Oyster House is good. Never been there because the line's too long.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of oysters either.
All right, the show has to end now. You're not a big fan of oysters.
No,
fried or anyway.
Just. The whole concept I find disgusting. I can't. I've never tried to smoke an oyster. Maybe if I try to put an oyster in my Traeger, it might be okay.
Yeah, you might like that. We have some friends who grilled oysters up here last month or earlier this month at that party you got to late.
Uh-huh.
There were grilled oysters there.
Good stuff.
Oh, astonishing! Just outstanding. I'm trying to think of other restaurants. I'll give you some later on. But that I can give you all kinds of good places. You're going
to
have a ball. I can't believe you didn't invite me.
You're always invited to vicariously live your life through.
Yeah, vicariously. That means I'm here, you're there.
Exactly.
All right, we only have a little bit left. What are the Indians going to do? You're a big Cleveland Indian fan now.
Yeah,
they've made the playoffs.
Well,
how are we going to do in there?
Well, let's set it up a little bit. Prior to being an Indians fan, I was a Cubs fan. And I know for you folks down here in Southern Illinois, that can be a four-letter word. But
there are a lot of Cubs fans here, too.
I've been a huge Cubs fan, and now I'm a huge Indians fan, and there would be nothing more exciting for us than to see a Cubs-Indians World Series.
Really?
The challenge that the Indians
You're going to have access to tickets?
We're going we'll find tickets.
Yeah.
But the challenge we're going to have is getting through the starting lineup, the starting pitching. Our starting pitching that has gotten the Indians to where they are today is a little bumped and bruised. We've got two starters out. We actually have a third starter out for about a week now. He should be ready. Kluber should be ready to play when the playoffs come along. But Salazar's out and Carrasco's out.
You're probably going to be playing either it's either Texas or Boston. Who would you prefer to play in of those two teams for the first round?
Boston.
You'd really prefer to play Boston
first round? Absolutely.
They got great pitching staff. Yeah, Why do you want to play Boston? They got David. You don't want to play. You don't want to play Big Poppy in the playoffs. Ask the Cardinals.
Especially
you don't want to face Big Poppy.
Well, especially on his final going out year too. And he is just an amazing athlete. But I think when you look at Boston, you look at Cleveland. The two clubs are similar. You got Tito that's coached in both. If there's something that he knows, if there's another team he knows a little bit more about, it's probably Boston more so than.
Well,
Texas.
That's true, but he also hasn't. Managed Boston for what, 5-6 years? When was the last time he managed Boston?
It doesn't matter. The old dog don't learn.
So y'all like Tito, huh?
We like Tito. And we're going to love Tito if he can get through this season and get through the playoffs.
So is this the year of Cleveland sports then?
You got the Cavaliers. You got
Cavaliers have already won.
You got the Indians.
The Indians might win in next month.
And go Bears.
You're not even going to mention the other team, are you?
Outside of that's where Bailey's Truck and Auto Center is, no. I don't want to go there.
It's a dirty word.
It is a dirty word.
That's too bad.
Well, we'll see what they can do.
Well, what's your prediction then, though, of the Indians? Can you make one, or is it too close to home?
I learned a long time ago while betting on Illinois sports to never do that. Where the heart leads is not necessarily where the pocketbook leads. So I've matured enough to stop doing
that. That's probably not a bad lesson to learn, I suspect, that in the long run, isn't it? What's the line Saturday, by the way, Illinois at Nebraska?
I haven't even looked, but I got to think it's 21.
Ah, it's
14
to
21.
No, I'm going to say 17.
That's going to be 14 to 21.
Let's go 17.
That's what I'm betting. 14 to 21.
Hey, folks, thank you very much, Greg, for coming on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome,
it.
Bruce. It's been a pleasure.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, everybody. Have a great day. I'll talk to y'all later.